to the WCHL Community Forum, presented by Orange County Economic Development and Durham Technical Community College. Our monthly forum features Chapelboro's elected officials and community leaders debating topics that affect our community and you. The discussion is sponsored by Orange County Economic Development. Coming this October, a half-day economic development summit that can be heard live right here on 97.9 The Hill. And by Durham Technical Community College, Durham and Orange County campuses do great things. The WCHL Community Forum begins now.
Welcome into the WCHL Community Forum here on 97.9 The Hill. I'm Blake Hodge. We're talking about budgets, going a little bit beyond the numbers this month for the WCHL Community Forum, as we have got Barry Jacobs from the Orange County Board of Commissioners, Bethany Cheney from the Carver Board of Aldermen, and Michael Parker from the Chapel Hill Town Council to talk about the budgets that just recently got wrapped up and passed by each of the local government bodies here, but also what you're able to do with some of those numbers. So let's go around the table here a little bit, talk about the budget being a value document, a way to put forward the values of the community. This is something that is talked about a lot throughout our community and the different municipalities and the county overall. So starting with Michael Parker here from the town of Chapel Hill, since you're on my left, you drew the short straw there. So what does that mean, being able to put a budget and all these numbers into representing the values of a town?
Well, you know, I think that I was once taught that your budget is the financial expression of your strategy. And in turn, your strategy ought to reflect what your, or in this case, the town's values are. And I think in Chapel Hill's case, I think it generally does. I mean, you have to remember that, as with any, you know, municipality or jurisdiction, you have core services that you're going to provide, you know, your police, your fire safety, your trash pickup, and that obviously absorbs a fair bit of your budget. But if you look at Chapel Hill's budget, for example, and what we're committed to, social justice, affordability, those kinds of things, I think we've done a pretty good job of reflecting that in the budget. This year's budget has over 4% for affordable housing. We make a major similar commitment to transit, which reflects both our longstanding relationship with the university, our desire to move people around, and a way of making Chapel Hill more affordable to people, particularly those who are transit dependent. We also put a lot of money into our library, which is something most municipalities don't do. That's typically, in most other jurisdictions, that's a county responsibility. So I think, you know, within the bounds of what we have is potentially discretionary money, I think we do reflect our town's values in our budget.
Staying at the municipal level here, going over to Carborough with Bethany Cheney. Thanks for being with us this morning.
How
does Carborough kind of encompass that type of value setting in your budget?
Well, I think it's very similar. The Board of Aldermen has a set of about five priorities that have been have carried through all of our budgets, I would say, for about a decade. And those priorities have to do with quality of life. It has to do with staff capacity and honoring staff. It has to do with infrastructure for walkability and public transit and a number of other things. And so that set of priorities really informs our budget year to year. And then, of course, we have things that come up that we have to also be mindful of and that aren't really flexible. And so one of those things would be transit, for example. It's very much of something that we value and we're willing to fund it, but it's also something that we've agreed to over time to continue to fund with through an interlocal agreement with Chapel Hill and with the university. And so we have to be mindful that there's some priorities like transit that will inform how much discretionary money, so to speak, we have to do other kinds of things. I would say that one of the other items that we're really working with right now that is informing our budget moving forward is going to be our library, which is a Orange County joint venture. The library itself will be county run, but the building that it will sit in is going to be built to accommodate town offices as well as some nonprofit ventures. And so we're working with that now. And while we don't have any particular funding in the budget this year for operating that facility, for example, we will have that money in the budget in future years. So we're already queuing up the tools that we'll need to be using to make sure that that building is sustainable over time and that our operations in it are too. So there are things like that that often inform our budgets that that you don't necessarily see or appreciate in the numbers, but it's part of the process, which is always ongoing. It's a living process, although the document itself is not so much.
Moving over to the county level with Commissioner Barry Jacobs, thanks for being with us today. The county obviously has different things that you have to do based on the state governance structure and things like that. So how does the county take these things into the job that the commissioners have of allocating that money?
Firstly, it's important to recognize that we do believe that there are Orange County values that the municipal governments embrace and the county commissioners embrace, having to do with helping those who are least able to help themselves, protecting the environment, quality public education, and a host of other things which were mentioned specifically by other people, Bethany and Michael, namely a library for one. We have greatly enhanced that service. But we should start with public education because we have a target of 48.2%, I believe, of our budget. We're over that again this year. The target is just a starting point in the budget conversations. But many of the things that we do are dictated by the fact that the federal and state government have cut the support for many of the things we consider essential, like quality public education. So we keep adding as they keep subtracting. And we do that in other ways. We've picked up programs, everything from a breastfeeding program for young mothers that was cut by the Department of Agriculture, to urgent home repair that was cut by the state legislature, to drug courts that were cut by the state legislature. We've started an effort called the Family Success Alliance to try and lift people who are in more modest means to get their children ready for school, to guide them through school, to help the family deal with all that that entails, to keep them healthy, keep them well fed. And that's not a county function. That's something that we take on. We also take on 1.5% of our budget is for outside agencies, mostly nonprofits. They have to adhere to certain guidelines about meeting county needs or working with county agencies. But we try and support those others outside government who are doing good work within the community. We've increased our commitment to affordable housing. We have paid a living wage for a number of years. And where we can under the law, we require contractors to pay a living wage. And even with our temporary employees, they get a living wage. So we're trying to live a lot of the principles, and I think we also try and do that in a fiscally disciplined way. I believe this year we're raising taxes because the voters passed $125 million bond package, of which $120 million was for schools. I think it's only the second time in 9 years we've raised the property tax. So we've tried to do all of this in a fiscally disciplined manner, and I think people who are either of modest means or just fiscally conservative should appreciate we're trying to balance all of our aspirations with reality.
And Carborough, at least as far as I'm immediately recalling, we haven't seen that type of project, and we've got the half-cent rate this year. So in that same kind of vein, how does Carborough try to realize the impact that you're going to have on particularly the most vulnerable residents while also, you know, funding the government in a way that it needs to be to sustain what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think just like Orange County, we're absolutely concerned about adding to the pressures that all of our residents feel, no matter what their means are in terms of salaries that aren't rising as quickly as their expenses are rising, pressures that we face because either the federal government or the state government is restricting our ability to subsidize certain kinds of work or to raise revenues in creative ways. So we and our finance department is the real we here, which I have just incredible respect for. has been incredibly, we have been very conservative over the past, I think it's 8 years, and 1 year in those 8 years, we've had to bump taxes just a little bit. We've managed our budget very, very tightly. We've been very conservative in how we've advanced the number of staff working for us, and we've kind of hit our limits to that, to how much we can restrict growing our staff, and also how much we can restrict growing the salaries that come with that. And healthcare costs are rising, and staffing costs for us to be competitive and have the kinds of quality management that we want. We really have to make sure we're competitive. So we also have a living wage, and we also are really mindful of making sure that the quality of life that our staff has is high. So that means hiring when we can. So we do have these sort of expenses that just grow annually, and we've tried to manage against that with just holding making sure that we're doing what we need to do, and those things that we really want to do, sometimes we have to do it very, very carefully, or we have to do those things incrementally. This year, we ask our finance department to undertake an analysis of our long-term outlook. If all things are sort of held harmless now, what does our financial picture look like 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road? And if we don't see a greater rise in property tax values, particularly on the commercial side, if we don't find other sources of revenue, we will not see a very bright future, you know, 10 years in the long term. You know, we will have to raise taxes.
Michael, with the town of Chapel Hill, it was, I believe, recommended 3 cents, ended up being a 2 cent increase.
Correct.
This year. How do you arrive at that?
So the original proposal was for a cent for transit, eight-tenths of a cent for the debt fund, and 1.2 cents for the general fund. And, you know, we all felt that that was a big amount for our residents to swallow all at once. We felt that the 1 cent for transit was, you know, amply justified, having to do with the fact that, you know, we've talked about various kinds of cut in federal support. Well, one of those cuts was the funds that used to be available for us to buy buses for Chapel Hill Transit. And so over the last four or so years, we've really had to, you know, do a 180. And whereas before, the federal government paid for all of our buses, with the possible exception of some cost sharing of, you know, 10% or less, now Chapel Hill Transit has to pay the full cost of all of its buses, accepting some money which we'd be getting from the Orange County Transit Plan and some money we get through the MPO. And so over the past few years, between outright acquisitions and some debt financing, that has pushed our Chapel Hill Transit costs up to the point where we were starting to erode our fund balance. So the 1 cent was really necessary. The 1.2 was proposed, and then we had some insurance savings, both in our general liability as well as our medical insurance. So the manager was able to take that down to one. And then finally, the 8/10 of the sales tax of the tax was for our debt service reserve fund, and the manager and we felt collectively that we could forestall that for a year or two without a great penalty. If we do increase the debt service fund, it will be a slightly higher amount, but we don't really have any cash flow problems till 2024. So this was by way of some advanced planning to start making sure we were securing our cash flow for the future. So while, as I think, you know, my colleagues here have said, none of us like to raise taxes, Chapel Hill had also been pretty prudent. We've had three modest tax increases over the last 10 years. But we felt that it was at a point where we just couldn't defer it any longer and still maintain the quality of services, maintain the quality of our employees, and maintain the quality of our transit services. So, you know, we reluctantly increased the property tax by 2 cents. But, you know, we felt that it was something we really had to do.
And a common theme kind of developing on across a bunch of these areas is restrictions that are coming in from either the state or the federal government. So we certainly want to talk a little more about that as we continue on here with the WCHL Community Forum on 97.9 The Hill, talking budgets going a little bit beyond the numbers this month on the Community Forum.
Temperatures are rising and the need to cool down is more important than ever. Orange County Department of Social Services has a limited number of fans available for low-income county residents with no cooling source in their home. Qualifying residents should visit the Chapel Hill or Hillsboro offices to apply. In addition, the Orange County Department on Aging provides fans to seniors 60 and over or those with disabilities. To check the availability, contact the Seymour Center at 919-968-2070 or the Passmore Center at 919-245-2015.
The Orange County campus of Durham Tech is booming with 70% more course offerings. This is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to invite you to find out why your neighbors and their kids are being educated by us in careers for the 21st century. We specialize in healthcare careers, including emergency medical management, computers, the arts, and much more. To see the full catalog, go to durhamtech.edu. I look forward to seeing you on campus here in Orange County.
Welcome back to the WCHL Community Forum, brought to you by Orange County Economic Development. Coming this October, a half-day economic development summit that will be heard live right here on 97.9 The Hill. This four-hour event will bring together community members, elected officials, economic development stakeholders, and business leaders in an effort to showcase and forecast economic development in Orange County. And by Durham Tech, with many green building features, the state-of-the-art 20-acre campus of Durham Tech helps Orange County residents do great things as they pursue their education, workforce training, and lifelong learning. Now, back to the WCHL Community Forum.
97.9 The Hill, talking budgets beyond the numbers this month. And I'm Blake Hodge. We've got Michael Parker from the town of Chapel Hill, Bethany Cheney from the Carborough Board of Aldermen, and Barry Jacobs, Orange County Commissioner, in with us today talking about these budgets. And one of the things that we heard from a couple of different areas in that first segment was talking about restrictions that are coming in from either the state or the federal government, sometimes a combination of those, on certain aspects of funding that the county or the town has not had to kind of rely on in the past. And one thing that you mentioned, Barry, looking at the county level, was education funding and setting that target of just over 48% to go to education funding of whatever the budget number is. How did you arrive at that, and how have kind of state education funding restrictions made that more challenging over the past few years?
Well, we had a committee of representatives of both school districts and then Commissioner Moses Carey and I, and we met with them. We looked at all sorts of different formulas for trying to figure out what was a fair estimate of what we should try and aim for every year as far as public school spending, and we finally took a 10-year average percent of increase, and it came out to 48.1%. And so we said, let's just try this as a target. And of course, for years, people mistook that as a cap. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a cap. And so, in fact, I think we almost always exceed the target, because there's always, well, school people will tell you in moments of frankness, they can never get enough money. Because even when they're well-funded, and our school systems, I think, are the first and seventh best-funded in the state. Maybe Dare County is ahead of Chapel Hill. Maybe not. But even so, they want to try new things. They want to be more supportive of parents, teachers, and students. And so how do you do that with limited means when the legislature is taking money away from experienced teachers or not giving them increases, not supporting administrators, not supporting construction of schools? There used to be a school construction fund. They promised that the lottery would go towards schools. There's almost no money left. It's like 23%, I think, that goes to education. Legislatures have moved it to other things, not to mention advertising for the lottery. So, you know, you're dealing with a shrinking pot, and you're trying to at least stay even, if not do more. I remember being at a public hearing on the budget one year where we were bragging about the fact that our total effort toward schools, if you count capital, construction, capital operating, was number one in the state. And somebody got up and said, yes, that's very nice, but in the state, we're only 44th in the country. So what kind of standard is that? And it's very sobering.
So, we've got the education piece of that that is obviously a key piece every year that people are looking to, parents are advocating for and things. But there are a lot of other areas where these types of restrictions place limits on either just what you're capable of doing. And I know that the community development block grant, those types of fundings have been a great concern for the town of Chapel Hill. How do you try to continue forward with a budget that meets the needs of the town and or the desires of the community in those restrictions? And what areas are particularly hit so far?
Well, actually, this year, with the passage of the omnibus bill, we actually got a pleasant surprise because our CDBG funds and our home funds actually went up by 8%. So that was like unprecedented and unheard of. But nonetheless, that's still not enough money. I mean, in taking a look at the larger picture, for example, in affordable housing, Chapel Hill is the largest, and this doesn't get quoted as often as perhaps it should. Chapel Hill is the largest affordable housing provider in Orange County. We have 336 affordable housing units, most of which were paid for years ago by HUD funds. Well, not only do we not get HUD funds to build new affordable housing, but we're not getting HUD funds to maintain the affordable housing that we have. So that presents a real challenge to us. And it is anticipated that at least some of the funds from the affordable housing bond, should the voters approve it, will be used to improve our affordable, the Chapel Hill owned affordable housing. The other thing, which is not fiscal, but the state of North Carolina puts a number of restrictions on the things that municipalities can do to generate affordable housing. In fact, I find it really interesting. So if you look at California, they have laws that mandate affordable housing by municipalities. In North Carolina, we have rules that basically restrict anything that looks like rent control, that makes inclusionary zoning difficult. So we have a state that is not only not particularly helpful to us, but at times seems actively hostile toward affordable housing, certainly either, provided by the public sector or mandated by the public sector. So these are things that we as a town have to make up. And as, as I said, last year, for example, the town of Chapel Hill all in devoted 6% of its budget to affordable housing, which I haven't done the research, but I suspect is on the very high side, certainly for a town of our size. So those are the kinds of things we deal with. I talked about transit. And the state is also one of the things we're looking to grow is our sales tax revenue. And so far, nothing bad has happened. But for the past couple of years, the state legislature has been talking about reallocating the sales taxes that are collected away from, municipalities or jurisdictions like Orange County and Chapel Hill toward more rural areas. And should that come to pass, again, that could have a very significant adverse impact on, let's say, our county and our town's finances.
Yeah, it seems like one of the things that's thrown about almost as often as the light rail funding of whether it's going to be taken up by the General Assembly this year or not. But Bethany, for the town of Carrboro, what are some areas that are maybe being targeted? Targeted may not be the right word. Feeling the strain more of some of these restrictions? Is it just not being able to try new things, or is it actually impeding on what the town has been able to provide before?
Well, I think it's a combination of the two. I think that all the things that Michael raised, we feel them more in indirect ways. Sometimes, for example, we don't get a direct, CDBG allocation, for example. But how those monies flow really affect nonprofits and our ability to do things in Carrboro, too. But I'd go in a slightly different direction. Definitely, the inability to easily raise, a new sales tax or a new fee to fund a particular thing affects us. And but also just state priorities and federal priorities in general, the absence of interest in certain kinds of activities affect us. So at the federal level and at the state level, when, for example, there's climate change deniers, folks that really don't want to prioritize any kind of resources to help community resiliency in a place like Carver or Chapel Hill, it affects us. So an example would be if we want to help families or help our town reduce energy expenses by relying more on solar energy, there's a lot of difficulties with that. First of all, we don't find a lot of subsidy out there to allow us to do that. But more importantly, the state's relationship with Duke Energy and Duke Energy's pretty hard stance on allowing municipalities to create their own energy sources or even allowing organizations and households to rely on alternative energy sources. It affects our strategies immensely. We can't raise a tax on plastic bags, which would help us subsidize maybe our solid waste operations and keep bad things out of our environment, but we can't do it. And if we were to ask the state to allow us to do that, we'd be laughed out of the NCGA. So so those are the kinds of ways I think that we feel restricted. It's policy decisions or lack of those policy decisions that often affect the way we can go about pursuing some of our values, like our climate change action plan. As a result, in Chapel Hill, in Carborough, boy, I think you guys are doing this too, though, Michael. We are this year instituting a stormwater management utility, which will allow us to raise, it's a special enterprise fund, it'll allow us to raise funding to do some really necessary infrastructure improvements and encourage property owners to do those to make their own improvements and to really analyze what's going on in terms of flood patterns, flooding possibilities, resiliency, upgrading systems that badly need upgrading. We wish we had other means to go about doing that. But instead, we're going to have a small fee for every household and for businesses to, dump into that fund and then make some improvements happen. It's a good thing for us that we can do that, but I really wish we had other kinds of resources.
One of the things that causes some of the affordable housing crux that we end up with is being a desirable area in general and people wanting to move here. So how that growth impacts all of that, we want to talk about that whenever we continue on here with the WCHL Community Forum for the month of June on 97.9 The Hill.
The Orange County campus of Durham Tech is booming with 70% more course offerings. This is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to invite you to find out why your neighbors and their kids are being educated by us in careers for the 21st century. We specialize in healthcare careers, including emergency medical management, computers, the arts, and much more. To see the full catalog, go to durhamtech.edu. I look forward to seeing you on campus here in Orange County.
These are the voices of tourism.
People will try and walk in and actually ask for Chef Vimala.
Saw almost 400% increase in foot traffic.
Everybody excited and happy to see that hotel very full.
We're going
to
share some funny anecdotes about some of our characters and visitors who come in, right, Maria?
Yes.
And we smile and we say, please come back, and they do.
This is why tourism matters. Tune in on Thursday mornings to The Ron Stutz Show for This is Tourism.
Welcome back to the WCHL Community Forum, brought to you by Orange County Economic Development. Coming this October, a half-day economic development summit that will be heard live right here on 97.9 The Hill. This four-hour event will bring together community members, elected officials, economic development stakeholders, and business leaders in an effort to showcase and forecast economic development in Orange County. and by Durham Tech. With many green building features, the state-of-the-art 20-acre campus of Durham Tech helps Orange County residents do great things as they pursue their education, workforce training, and lifelong learning. Now, back to the WCHL Community Forum.
Talking budgets, going beyond the numbers to have the real-life impact of what all of these numbers actually mean whenever we see the overall budget. We've got Bethany Cheney from the Carrboro Board of Aldermen, Michael Parker from the Chapel Hill Town Council, and Orange County Commissioner Barry Jacobs with us today talking about the restrictions that are in place at in some ways and then some new things that may be able to be kind of try it out and see how it goes through this budgeting process. Everybody talks about affordable housing all the time. There was the $120 million in school funding, but there was also a $5 million bond for affordable housing in the county in 2016. Chapel Hill voters this November will have a $10 million affordable housing bond. You mentioned the half cent in Carrboro this year going directly to affordable housing. So one of the issues that creates that is that this is an area that a lot of people are moving to, talking about the Triangle in general. And if you bring up growth to different people around town, you get a lot of different answers. So how can things be implemented through a budgeting process in an attempt to either be more intentional with some of these things? And from a county level, I know y'all have a bunch of economic development initiatives that kind of get talked about in a regional sense in a lot of ways as well. So how do you try to incorporate all of that, knowing that people are moving here and there's not a whole lot we can do to to stop that, even if you wanted to?
Well, I think we have growth controls that directs the growth to where we want it to go. And I personally am proud that we have the lowest growth rate in the region, population growth rate, because then you can handle it. Even as it is, the faster you grow, the more people feel dislocated who already live here. The more that talking about restrictions, we've looked at trying to expand the homestead exemption for people living on a fixed income who are elderly. When Fred Black when we talked about this years ago during a campaign, and we looked at all the ways we might be able to expand the very minimal break that the state allows, and you can't do it. But we've tried really hard to not only to recruit new businesses, to bring more resources to bear on these pressures, but we tried to honor and enhance the industries that are already here. The biggest industry that's here, and it's true for a lot of counties that have just started picking up on it, is agriculture. Agriculture was just not seen as an industry in urbanized counties. Mm-hmm. And so we've worked really hard on the local agricultural economy, on the arts, and on tourism. Those are not as dramatic as bringing in more Naga to make candy and hire 100 people. But those industries actually employ a lot more people, and they also help to define who you are. And so within all of that, you're trying to balance. I'm sure this is true for Bethany and Michael. If you have a public hearing and people are saying, and we have unusual public hearings because parents of school children come and say, please raise my taxes. I can always get a laugh at a state county commissioner meeting when I say that. But it's a real compulsion, because your kid is only in school for a certain amount of time and you want them to have the best always, but certainly when there's more resources could be brought to bear. So you're always balancing that in your own mind, and we've been aggressive even in this fiscally constrained atmosphere. You know, we've added a transportation department because we never had money for transportation except as pass-throughs for human services. We started a criminal justice department because we don't call it a jail, we call it a detention center, but it's as old as Carrboro Town Hall. It was from a bond in the 1920s. We're way out of compliance with state regulations. But as part of that, we wanted to try and divert reasonably as many people as possible who had mental illness, who had drug problems, who were incarcerated because they couldn't pay their fines. And so that required – now we have a department which is doing great, just got a $150,000 grant for reentry programs for people who are leaving the penal system. So we're trying to find ways – things like that actually save you money because we're not building as big a jail as we would if we were just putting people in. And I think that there's a shift, a positive shift in North Carolina, I have to give the state credit, for being more enlightened about trying to address those kinds of needs, which in the long run are more cost effective and also help your community deal with other issues that maybe are not so become more evident when you're not dealing with issues having to do with crime or safety. And we have I think all the governments in the county do a really good job on that and work together really well.
Well, Michael, one of the things with a difference in the county and the municipal kind of needs on this is a lot of what y'all are doing in terms of approving projects or whatever they may be. How do you try to work through that process with developers who are seeing that people are moving here and want to provide a space that they may be able to rent and call home? How do you try to go through that process of knowing these projects are coming and getting things for the town perspective to move forward on some of those other goals, whether they be affordable housing or things like that?
Well, I mean, it's always a challenge. I think that we have a community that, has a spectrum of desires. It's not like there's, I'd say, a consensus on exactly what we want the town to look like or how fast we want the town to grow. So it's always a challenge. I think that one of the things that I'm really excited about being on the council right now is our future land use map rewrite and then the land use management ordinance rewrite. I think as a town, we have not done a very good job of telling developers what we want, where we want it, what we want it to look like. And so as a result, councils past, present, but hopefully not future, have really been reactive and looking at, projects come forward and then we react to them and say, do we like it? Do we not like it? We listen to the public. The public gives us a variety of opinions and we try to make the best decision we can. And at the same time, within the constraints of both fairness and, legal authority to get things that the town wants. Some of them are already embodied in our LUMO, things like tree buffers, tree canopy coverage, stormwater management requirements. But others having to do with affordable housing are less clear cut and to some degree a matter of negotiation between developers and the town. But I'm hopeful that through, which has been going on now for several months, our process, as I said, of the land use map rewrite and the LUMO rewrite, that we as a town will be able to give developers a clearer picture of what it is we're looking for so that we won't always be in this situation of always dealing with one-offs and trying to review things on the fly, but we will have articulated to developers what we want. And so hopefully we can get to a system where developers who come to us with things that we've been pretty clear that we want, both in terms of size, function, use, amenities, and, in some cases, things that the town wants, like affordable housing, will have a relatively easy time getting through an approval process. And projects, developers that come to us with projects that aren't in line with our expressed desires will have a much tougher row to hoe and no guarantees on what will happen. But I think it's important both for developers, but equally, if not more importantly, for our residents to have a sense of what we want so there is predictability, so that there is fairness. One of the things that nothing stirs people up more is when they thought that the land nearby was designated for some particular use, perhaps low density, and then all of a sudden a developer comes, wants to rezone it to a much higher use, it's not predictable for developers, but more importantly, it's not predictable and potentially not fair to the folks who live there already, and I think that's what causes a lot of the friction in our town.
Mm-hmm. And this is not a Chapel Hill specific kind of thing. We run into these types of issues, and this is this where we talk about Lloyd Farm? I feel like.
What's that going to do with the budget?
I mean, it sure is, Blake. I mean, Carrboro has a very particular restriction, which is its actual boundaries, right? We are 6.5 square miles as a town. The most dense in the state is what I've heard in terms of population per square mile. Analysts say, developers say, that if our zoning pattern and land use ordinance stayed exactly the same now, we would be fully built out by 2040. And that's a very limiting factor for us. If we ever want to absorb growth, if we want to be a part of that, contributing to that in Orange County, we have to find creative ways to grow. So we are taking a look now at undertaking our first comprehensive planning process in essentially decades. We have a visioning document that was prepared in 2000-2001 that really is I'd call it a lightweight policy document. It's guided our principles, but it has not really guided as much our communications to developers. As Michael says, we need to be more consistent and fair. It hasn't really guided our land use, a comprehensive look at our land use ordinance. And so we are going to undertake some kind of process beginning this year. We'll define that process, or at least start to chip away at it. Mm-hmm. And figure out how we can resource that over the next few years. Comprehensive plans take a really long time. And in the meantime, you have to be building, or you have to accommodate folks who come to you and say, I need something different in my neighborhood. So Lloyd Farm is one of the is really one of the only large pieces of undeveloped property within the town boundaries. And so, of course, it's going to be very much a lightning rod for the neighborhood, for policymakers, for folks who are just wanting more or something different commercially in that part of town. It's not surprising. But the truth is, it has taken a really, really long time to say no. To the developers the first time around. I think it took almost 5 years. They will be coming back to us in a public hearing in September. And personally, I'd like to see us get to some kind of yes, because we can't afford to have those kinds of protracted disagreements in our community if long-term we want to see sustainability for this town, we want to see a high quality of life, we want to address some of these affordability issues. We want a really high quality development. We want something that doesn't impede neighbors. But it is true that in any development, we can't make everybody happy. So I think the joke is, make everybody unhappy.
Just a little bit.
Right? We don't really want that, but I think that's kind of what it's going to feel. Yeah. That's the nature of compromise, right? Not everybody doesn't get everything that they want. And I think that that's what ultimately we will see on that piece of property. And throughout the comprehensive planning process, that's what we will see, a heavy, heavy emphasis on compromise as we try to figure out how to create density in a town that is as small as ours.
So we'll continue to follow that, of course, and keep you up to date as that public hearing approaches and then through all of that process. We got to wrap up the WCHL Community Forum here on 97.9 The Hill, talking about budgets, going a little bit beyond the numbers to the day-to-day impact on our lives throughout our community whenever we come back here on 97.9 The Hill.
Temperatures are rising, and the need to cool down is more important than ever. Orange County Department of Social Services has a limited number of fans available for low-income county residents with no cooling source in their home. Qualifying residents should visit the Chapel Hill or Hillsborough offices to apply. In addition, the Orange County Department on Aging provides fans to seniors 60 and over or those with disabilities. To check the availability, contact the Seymour Center at 919-968-2070 or the Passmore Center at 919-245-2015.
The Orange County campus of Durham Tech is booming with 70% more course offerings. This is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to invite you to find out why your neighbors and their kids are being educated by us in careers for the 21st century. We specialize in healthcare careers, including emergency medical management, computers, the arts, and much more. To see the full catalog, go to durhamtech.edu. I look forward to seeing you on campus here in Orange County.
Welcome back to the WCHL Community Forum, brought to you by Orange County Economic Development. Coming this October, a half-day economic development summit that will be heard live right here on 97.9 The Hill. This four-hour event will bring together community members, elected officials, economic development stakeholders, and business leaders in an effort to showcase and forecast economic development in Orange County. And by Durham Tech, with many green building features, the state-of-the-art 20-acre campus of Durham Tech helps Orange County residents do great things as they pursue their education, workforce training, and lifelong learning. Now, back to the WCHL Community Forum.
97.9 The Hill, talking about budgets beyond the numbers. And we have got Michael Parker from the town of Chapel Hill, Barry Jacobs from Orange County, and Bethany Cheney from the town of Carbaryl with us today. And we'll go kind of reverse of the way that we started the forum and going around the table here and start with Barry Jacobs from Orange County. From the value perspective on a budget, what are some things that are in this year's budget, either it's if it's a continuation or something new, that you're very proud that you were able to vote for that provision in particular?
Well, let me just say, to frame it, and going back to the last segment where Bethany was talking about compromise, I think doing a budget is a matter of balancing competing aspirations and competing interests to form something that generally reflects the group that you represent. And our manager, Bonnie Hammersley, and her staff have done such a good job that I was complaining to her that our budget process this year was so uncomplicated and uncontroversial it made me nervous. We're up to almost a $227 million budget. At the same time that we were all identifying limitations that are being imposed from other levels of government, we're still trying to advance. And so part of our budget now has three community centers, where a few years ago we had none. We have one in Rogers Road, one in Cedar Grove, and one in Eflin. That's a part of the budget and the government that we never had before. People talk about how there's poverty in Orange County and it's not being addressed. The Family Success Alliance, which has now also started bringing in grants from other entities, is an attempt to gradually address a systemic problem that people as far back as Franklin Roosevelt and Robert Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson were trying to address. Some of these things that we're trying to do, like promote affordable housing, have a more aggressive and creative and collaborative process, are again places where there was federal support and now it's gone. So I think the key is to live within your means. We still have a AAA bond rating. We still have a 16% fund balance, which is double the requirement. As we've all said, we've been frugal about raising taxes. But at the same time, you want to identify things that are important to your community and make sure that they're not neglected, and even better, they're advanced.
Bethany, from Carbaryl's perspective on that.
Well, I think that we really have to give our staff a whole lot of credit, first of all, for always holding us to tough decisions, for always giving us really good guidance on what our choices are and what our compromises might need to be, and always being carrying through the thread of frugality, which I think that Carbaryl is really known for. And that frugality has not limited our ability to do very good things for our community. It's just meant that we have demonstrated to our community that we really value the contributions that they're making through their tax dollars, and we really want to use that as efficiently as possible to make this the kind of community that they've told us they want. So I give staff ultimate credit for our ability to do what we do in our town. But I think that long-term sustainability is going to be kind of a driver moving forward. That how do we, given all of the environmental factors that are pressuring us as communities, as local governments, how are we going to be able to reach the meet the expectations of our public and our taxpayers? and grow and absorb growth without becoming an unaffordable, absolutely unaffordable place. So I think those are some of the drivers for us that we're, you know, that we're certainly thinking about. And I think that we have to maintain sort of an eye on the prize, you know, balancing what I think some people would say would be good progressive principles with very conservative fiscal responsibility.
And wrapping up with Michael Parker from the town of Chapel Hill.
I think we, you know, I'm proud of, again, as I opened with, some of the things that we're able to continue to support our efforts in affordability and affordable housing, transit, and just providing a very safe community, a community that provides a high level of services and amenities to its residents. But I also, you know, recognize that we have challenges. I think that there were things that we'd like to do more for that we just haven't been able to find the funds for, the cultural arts, the arts in general. I think we are not doing as much as we would like to. I think we recognize that we're still struggling to find the funding for it. We recognize that, you know, for the past several years, our revenues have only been going up by about 1.5%. And that's a real challenge. And we, you know, there are two things you can do about it. One is to build more at a rate that would probably be unacceptable to the majority of our residents. And the other is to try to find ways through commercial and retail to expand the sales tax revenues. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to do. Wegmans is perhaps the largest example of that. You know, Target has opened up. So we feel as a town we need to expand our sales tax base if we're going to continue to be able to make the kinds of investments and the things that do reflect our values and also protect the quality and integrity of our core services. And I guess finally, I'd like, you know, in terms of things that I'm glad we were able to do, is give our employees a 3% raise. We have, you know, an amazing number of dedicated and hardworking employees. You know, we need to make sure that we keep them, that we support them. And we often talk about as a council the fact that too few of our employees actually live within Chapel Hill. And clearly one of the things that motivates us in terms of affordable housing is to try to provide places for some of those folks who actually wish to live in Chapel Hill to do so. But one of the things that doesn't get spoken about perhaps as much as it could is that the other way to make sure that people are able to live in Chapel Hill is to pay them more money so they can afford to pay what it costs to live in Chapel Hill. So I'm glad that we were able, you know, that we've been able over the past few years to maintain our employees and continue to in what I consider an investment in their, you know, health and well-being.
Great. This is the WCHL Community Forum. Thank you again to Michael Parker from the town of Chapel Hill, Bethany Cheney from Carborough, and Barry Jacobs, the Orange County perspective on this as we're talking about budgets this month. As we just got to the budget season kind of wrapped up and head into the new fiscal year here for the month of June. Don't forget, if you missed any of this WCHL Community Forum, you can find them in their entirety at our website as well, chapelborough.com. I'm Blake Hodge, 97.9 The Hill.
This month's WCHL Community Forum was presented by Orange County Economic Development. Coming this October, a half-day economic development summit that will be heard live right here on 97.9 The Hill. And by Durham Tech. $500 scholarships are now available at Durham Tech for any Chapel Hill, Carborough, or Orange County High School resident who graduated from their local high school in the last year. So go to durhamtech.edu and type Connect Funds into the search box and get ready to do great things.
The Orange County campus of Durham Tech is booming with 70% more course offerings. This is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to invite you to find out why your neighbors and their kids are being educated by us in careers for the 21st century. We specialize in healthcare careers, including emergency medical management, computers, the arts, and much more. To see the full catalog, go to durhamtech.edu. I look forward to seeing you on campus here in Orange County.
These are the voices of tourism.
People will try and walk in and actually ask for Chef Vimala.
Saw almost 400% increase in foot traffic.
Everybody excited and happy to see that hotel very full.
We're going to share some funny anecdotes about some art characters and visitors who come in, right, Maria?
Yes.
And we smile and we say, please come back, and they do.
This is why tourism matters. Tune in on Thursday mornings to the Ron Set Show for This is Tourism.